This is KGNU's Morning Magazine for Friday, July 9th. I'm your host, Shannon Young. Thank you for joining us here on listener-supported community radio. Coming up on today's program, the Boulder Valley School District is facing a dire shortage of bus drivers for the upcoming school year. We'll find out why and what is being done to recruit workers in the final weeks of summer. We also kick off a new series on housing as part of a collaboration with the Rocky Mountain Community Radio Coalition. And we'll bring you the latest edition of Trends Diary. At 8:30 this morning, Connections comes your way. They have a packed fun drive special ready for you. Then at 9:30, Meredith Carson is on deck to bring you the Morning Sound Alternative, an eclectic mix of music until noon. And now, we'll start with the headlines. Governor Jared Polis has formally declared the end of the health emergency declaration in Colorado with regards to the pandemic. That does not mean the virus has stopped spreading, but that state authorities are acting as though the worst of it is mostly under control, thanks to widespread uptake and availability of vaccines. Governor Polis says efforts are now shifting to recovery.
My North Star has always been avoiding overwhelming our hospital system. And I'm proud to say that we've succeeded in Colorado, where others have failed. And now, tragically, the vast majority of COVID-19 related deaths are among the unvaccinated. About 99% of the deaths nationally are people that haven't gotten vaccinated.
State officials say just over 70% of Coloradans eligible for the vaccine have received at least one dose. The Colorado Department of Public Health and Environment released new modeling data yesterday showing the effective reproduction number of coronavirus infections is now below one. The CDPHE also estimates around 90% of new infections in the state are caused by the highly contagious Delta variant. The city of Boulder has announced a new round of dates for pop-up vaccination clinics in the downtown area. Shots are available Sundays, noon to 5 p.m., and Mondays from 2 to 7 p.m. at the Boulder Public Library at the north entrance along Canyon Boulevard. These Sunday and Monday clinics start the day after tomorrow and will continue until August 16th. Attendees will be able to choose between the one-shot Johnson & Johnson vaccine for adults and the two-dose Pfizer vaccine, which is approved for use in people 12 years old and up. No ID, proof of insurance, nor appointments are required. Spanish translators will be available on site. Purdue Pharma and the Sackler family have been ordered to turn over 20 years' worth of records as part of a court resolution. It's the result of a lawsuit to which the state of Colorado was a party. KGNU's Steve Miller has more.
Colorado Attorney General Phil Weiser on Thursday announced a resolution of his lawsuit against the Sackler family and their company, Purdue Pharma, that will make public tens of millions of documents related to their role in the opioid crisis and require the Sacklers to pay at least $4.3 billion for prevention, treatment, and recovery efforts in communities across Colorado and the country. Attorney General Weiser said the actions of Purdue Pharma and the Sackler family contributed significantly to a crisis level of opioid use cases and nearly 5,000 overdose deaths in Colorado. Colorado, along with 14 other states, are holding Purdue and the Sacklers accountable for their conduct in the crisis they caused in the state and around the country. The resolution of the case, which was filed in bankruptcy court on Wednesday night and is subject to approval, requires unprecedented disclosure about the role Purdue and the Sacklers played in fueling the opioid crisis. It requires Purdue and the Sacklers to make public more than 30 million documents, including attorney-client privilege communications about Purdue's manipulation of the original FDA approval of OxyContin and its fraudulent and deceptive marketing tactics to promote its opioid drug OxyContin. The Sacklers will pay the $4.325 billion over the next 9 years, with Colorado expected to receive at least $50 million. The state will then disperse the money to local governments. Thousands of individual victims of Purdue's misconduct will also receive compensation as part of the bankruptcy process. I'm Steve Miller for KGNU.
Today's weather forecast from the National Weather Association, the National Weather Service, shows we are looking at a high of 100 degrees today with a slight chance of rain tonight. Temperatures should be cooling off over the weekend with mostly clear skies and highs in the mid-80s predicted over in Saturday and Sunday. Right now, outside our Boulder studios, it's 67 degrees. You are listening to The Morning Magazine on KGNU, and as you already know, we are in our summer fun drive, and I am joined in the studio by Hannah Lee Myers, Rosanna Longobetter, and we are asking for you to support your radio and your news service in the local radio. We have a thank you to shout out to Charles in Fort Collins. He shares, keep up the great work. He enjoys Alan Watts and Democracy Now! We did not pitch for Alan Watts this mini fun drive because it is only 5 short days. We are in the last segment of our news and public affairs programming. It is the final stretch for us. We want to hear from you. And on the table, we have a community challenge from the longtime listener members. We have to reach a $1,000 goal during the morning news block today. And I know we can make it. We hit our goal during Democracy Now! And we are on our way during the morning magazine. I want to just open the mics just to give a quick chance to say your piece to Hannah Lee Myers. This is the first time you've...
It's my first pitch of the drive. And yeah, you know, it's definitely a privilege to be part of this news team. And anybody who listens to KGNU knows that not only is KGNU covering a really important part of the Front Range with Boulder, Denver, and Fort Collins and Nederland, you know, there's a lot that goes on here, but that KGNU brings a really special type of local coverage that you just can't get anywhere else. So as a member of this news team, proud member of this news team, we ask you to join us and to support us so that we can keep covering the news that is important to you here in this part of the Front Range. And to do that, yeah, 303-449-4885. We're here for you. And we want to make sure that we can continue to bring you that really important, very hyper-local focused coverage that we need.
And we have a hyper-local story coming right up. The Boulder Valley School District is facing a dire shortage of school bus drivers for the 2021-22 school year. This is despite a significant outreach campaign and the addition of incentives to the job offer. To find out more about what's behind the shortage, what the district is trying to do to quickly staff up, and other alternative means of transportation they are promoting, I spoke with Tony Scala, Director of Transportation for the Boulder Valley School District, and Landon Hilliard, BVSD's Safe Routes to School Coordinator. I started by asking Tony Scala just how severe the shortfall is and what the district is doing to shift resources to cover needs.
The shortfall is going to probably be somewhere between 50 and 60 drivers to start the school year. And the district, the type of resources that where we shifted, we put a large campaign into recruiting. So that's one of the things that they've done. We've also added a incentive program where if somebody is referred by one of our employee gets a $1,000 referral bonus, as does the person who gets hired and stays with us for 90 working days. They also get $1,000. In addition to that, a individual who already has an existing CDL with a Class B and S endorsement, if they join us, they will get an additional $1,500 bonus. So for those with CDL licenses that are for school buses, they'll get a total of $2,500 after being here for 90 days. We've also done a wage increase. Our starting wage now is above $20.50. So the district is doing what it can to be competitive in this very competitive labor market.
And at what point was it evident that staffing the bus routes was going to be a challenge?
You know, it's been a challenge for the last several years, but this year, because of the pandemic, and unfortunately, a lot of drivers left, so that increased our situation. It really became apparent within the last 2 months of how dire the situation was, because every year we'd lose some drivers just to retirement and that kind of thing. But the pandemic really hit us hard.
And why has it been so hard to staff these routes? I mean, you mentioned the pandemic, you mentioned retirement, but I mean, if it's been an ongoing problem for years, what's really at the root cause of the difficulty?
I think a lot of it is just competition from other entities. Amazon, for example, UPS, FedEx, these are all now competitors for the same pool of drivers that we need. And that's probably been the biggest one. But again, it was the situation got worse due to the pandemic. It really did.
Bringing in Landon Hilliard, your job is Safe Routes to School Coordinator. What are the alternatives that you are promoting now within the context of this school bus driver shortage?
We are really looking at everything. All solutions are on the table, and we understand that really a multi-pronged approach is what will get us through this. So Safer to School's bread and butter has to do with public transit, the RTD system. So we're looking at where there's redundancy with RTD routes, and we're looking at the distribution of bus passes for students in lieu of yellow bus service. One caveat, of course, is that RTD is also in a bad place around their labor shortage, and we can't count on their being able to cover the demand that we throw to them. We're also looking at standard safe routes strategies of carpooling. There's a group called Schoolpool through the Denver Regional Council of Governments that connects parents together for carpooling. And that is something that's important. Along with RTD, there are shuttle services, either van pools or actual called flex rides by RTD, where students can use a bus pass. Then we get down to the fundamentals of walking and biking. And we know that walking and biking during COVID became or was recognized as essential transportation. So for those where it's convenient and for those who have safe walking and bicycling routes, we will be promoting that with resources and education and crossing guard programs. So really, to repeat, all the strategies are on the table. We're looking at commuting solutions, but also community solutions, where the district does as much as it can to provide resources and ideas and support. And then residents, students, and parents take up and meet us halfway to think through what works for them. So we're counseling everyone to think ahead now, knowing that transportation will look different this fall.
How does BVSD incentivize the use of alternative methods of transportation? I think I saw something on the website about bonus points or a rewards program.
Yes, you're referring to the BVSD Trip Tracker program, which essentially gives Trip Tracker bucks in return for green trips by walking, biking, school bus, and carpooling. And so that has been a dynamite incentive for those parents at schools where it takes place. It's the Trip Tracker, BVSD Trip Tracker program is not in every school. But again, one of our strategies is to think about expanding its range and using the power of those incentives, which is like a public-private partnership to use those dollars, because the way the program works is the dollars can be spent with our partners as if they're real U.S. currency.
And finally, if someone is listening to this interview and thinking, hey, $1,000 signing bonus, $1,500 if you already have a commercial driver's license, that sounds like a job that could be a good fit for me. How can they find out more?
So one is our webpage. Go to careers on our webpage, bvsd.org. Also, if you go to the transportation webpage, there should be a link there to take you back to that careers. The other thing is to contact Heather Burke directly. She's our transportation hiring manager. Her number is 720-561-6230.
Tony Scala, Director of Transportation for the Boulder Valley School District, and Landon Hilliard, Safe Routes to School Coordinator for BVSD. Thank you both for joining us today.
Well, thank you, Shannon, for interviewing us and allowing us to join you and helping us to get the word out. We appreciate it.
And once again, we are back in the studio asking for your support. Give us a call, 303-449-4885. And just a comment about that past segment. If you think that, you know, maybe you don't have kids that go to BVSD and you think, that doesn't really affect me, well, evidence of this shortage will likely be visible on the streets 6 weeks from now. You know, parents with the means to transport their kids to school are being asked by BVSD to do so. And that means more traffic on the streets, more emissions in the air, and an increased likelihood of accidents. So do know that this issue does affect you whether or not you have children who are waiting for the bus. Give us a call, 303-449-4885 or kgnu.org to hear more stories like this that are very specifically focused in your area. KGNU is and has been the only broadcast outlet based in Boulder. So give us some love, give us some support, and give us a call, 303-449-4885. Be like Thomas Carncross and his wife, Marion Whitney. Thank you so much. She said they both say they love the political shows that are ahead of the competition. Thanks to you both. It is so appreciated. Become a Solar member. Have your donation taken out of your checking account in little increments all throughout the year. It's quick and it's painless, and it allows us to plan ahead. Before we go into our next segment, I'm going to turn things back over to my coworkers and colleagues in the studio. This is literally the first time since the pandemic that all three of us have been in the studio together. It is, can I just say how nice it is to have you here?
It's very nice. Yeah, especially the KG knew so much about community. It's nice to have that feel back.
It's so nice to have all of you here. It just feels homey. I'm so happy. But I want to motivate people. I want to say there's no better time than now to support. Please go online, kgnu.org. Or call 303-449-4885. Please get us there. We have a goal today, and we want to get there, and we also want to double it. So please call 303-449-4885. It feels so good to be together.
I have to say that we are more than halfway to our goal. So we have some good momentum here. We are more than halfway through the morning magazine. So please, as you're listening to this next segment, log on to kgnu.org, fill out that form, and let me tell you about this next segment that's coming up. It's we are kicking off a collaboration with the Rocky Mountain Community Radio, and I want to tie this back to what is going on with the bus driver shortage. It's not just BVSD, it's also RTD, who are experiencing shortages with qualified bus drivers. And the labor shortage not only comes within the context of the pandemic, but also at a time of skyrocketing cost of living. And much of it is fueled by rising housing costs. Those of us living in Boulder see and feel those costs up close, but housing costs are also rising across the Rocky Mountain region. So we are going to kick off this collaboration with the Rocky Mountain Community Radio Coalition. It is a group of like-minded, similar radio stations across the area, across the region. And this segment, this series that we are kicking off that will run through October, looks at how people across the region are grappling with the rising cost of housing and their attempts to find real-time solutions. This story comes to us from KDNK's Kathleen Shannon in the Roaring Fork Valley.
When you're dealing with the overwhelming stress of trying to find a job, where are kids getting education, where are we going to live? These can be overwhelming days.
Jennifer Weary is the executive director of Alpine Legal Services, a nonprofit that uses monetary donations to provide free legal advice and representation in court. This agency has been around for more than 25 years, but the group received 5 times more calls for housing assistance in May of this year than it did in May 2019. The increase comes even as many face barriers to finding aid, such as lack of access to reliable internet and not speaking English.
So what we were finding is that people were too overwhelmed to really navigate the system. They needed personal help. They needed a human.
So this March, a group of nonprofits, including Alpine Legal Services, launched Bridging Resources, a helpline operating under Aspen Community Foundation's umbrella as a guide to a pre-existing network of support. When someone calls the line, a bilingual navigator connects the caller to agencies that can help provide food, rental assistance, childcare, or other services. So far, most calls come from women who have families and are seeking housing assistance. And an equal number of Spanish speakers and English speakers have called the line.
Some of our callers, it's their first time. They have no idea where to go, what to do, to ask for help.
Jocelyn Rivas is the Bridging Resources Program Coordinator. She handles calls, but can't always field them as they come in. That's when the follow-up process starts, and Rivas says that's a huge part of her job.
We do call them twice, different days, different times. We leave a voice message, and then we also send a text.
In the program's first 10 weeks, Rivas says 78 callers received assistance, and she's adapted the program to what she's learned so far. Rivas is bilingual, but not all her partner agencies have Spanish-speaking staff. So she's advocated for translation services. She's also expanded her method of follow-up.
First, we were just referring people. So we were giving them, you know, a list of places that they can call. And we found out that we actually needed to make the connection between the agency and the caller. So now what we're doing is if somebody calls in, we'll go ahead and call the agency with them.
The go-to agency for those facing eviction or those who fear they may soon is Alpine Legal Services. Jenny Weary, who we heard from earlier, recommends that tenants who may have trouble paying rent should start a conversation with their landlords early on. She knows that discussion can be difficult, but Weary says landlords are more likely to negotiate with advanced notice.
The further upstream we can go to prevent these evictions from ever starting in the first place, that's where we're going to stop the ripple effect of these problems.
So Bridging Resources can help callers navigate the system, but that system offers more band-aids than long-term solutions. Federal eviction moratorium was just extended from the end of June to July 31st, but the cost of living in the Roaring Fork Valley is still rising.
It was $1,900 plus utilities, plus water, plus trash, plus gas. It came out to over $2,500 or more. Way too much for me.
Glenwood Springs resident Sonia started a search for a new home for herself and her two sons after going through a divorce. Soon after securing housing, her dad passed away from COVID-19, and she took a week off work to travel to the funeral, which she also helped pay for. When she got behind on the bills, the Salvation Army paid 1 month of Sonia's utilities, and she used free legal consultations with Alpine Legal Services to work through her divorce. But still, her pile of bills is mounting. While she's been fighting to hold on to housing...
You know, when the attorney asked me that, well, can you even afford it? Like, it's just kind of degrading. Well, yeah, I could have afforded it if I didn't have all this other stuff that happened to me.
Jenny Weary says she hears from a lot of people whose financial difficulties are compounding because the cost of living keeps rising.
The stories we hear are compelling enough in and of themselves. What we worry most about is the stories we aren't hearing.
That's one data point that's hard to measure. Who is still being overlooked or is unwilling to reach out? Weary says that stable housing helps people get and maintain work, provide for family, and more. And a lack of housing contributes to mental health issues. Rivas sees evidence of this in many FERC calls through Bridging Resources.
Sometimes we're the only ones that they've talked to about, you know, whatever problem they're going through. So a lot of it is about just kind of letting them vent to you or just cry over the phone. Just by listening, you're doing so much.
For KDNK and Rocky Mountain Community Radio, I'm Kathleen Shannon.